feeling that you understand continued growth in the economy, continued increase in the gross national product so that there's more for everybody, employees, employers, and to take care of the things that have to be done in the public interest, that would give them more encouragement and do more to keep the economy going than almost anything else. And I would be inclined to speak in general terms about the administration initiating some studies to determine what, if any, incentives can best be provided to ensure that the economy continues to operate on a high level. Just the knowledge on their part that you are thinking in these terms, I think will go a long, long ways to get them in the frame of mind to do the things that will actually produce this result, regardless of what comes from it. Because I can tell you, Mr. President, on the basis of firsthand experience, that people in business, when they're deciding to make a commitment, they get reports, they make careful analyses, and it comes up with certain figures. But the final decision is not always made on the basis of the technical analyses. The final decision is made primarily on the basis of how the president of the company or the chairman of the board or two or three people or the key people on the board of directors feel inside about what the course of the economy is going to be. So that far above just the juggling around the figures and that kind of thing, the attitude of businessmen makes an enormous amount of difference on how much they spend for plant. Now, the more that is spent for plant, the more likely it is that we're going to get two results. One is that prices will be held down, because that increased capacity will always have the effect of putting the lid on prices. And the second thing is the expenditures for plant immediately filter out into the spending stream, so it provides the money to buy the products that can be produced by the new capacity. But I think that it would be...
Now, the more you spend for plant, the more likely you are to have prices down, because you'll have a greater output and you'll have competition. Now, what's the second point?
The second point is that the money that's spent for plant in the final analysis turns up in the spending stream in the hands of consumers, because the laborer has his wages.
Little glucose in your bloodstream.
Exactly. Now, so I've always felt that...
So the key then, that you say, the key to maintaining our present line instead of a dip is plant investment.
Plant investment, yes, sir.
Because plant investment will help to stabilize prices, make things more competitive, and plant investment will go into the bloodstream and stimulate the economy. And plant investment is going to depend on the general feeling and the attitude and the atmosphere of the key individual.
I do believe that.
All right. Now, they're feeling with the president and his policies, and they're feeling with the leadership in the government, and they're feeling in the economic conditions and monetary conditions and so forth.
The attitude of your administration, I can tell you, is going to make an enormous amount of difference on how much is spent for plant equipment. And I think that it's possible to give them encouragement without getting in a situation where they would feel that the fact that you're studying how to accomplish it should lead them to hold off until they see the results. I don't think that would be a consequence at all. I think
labor policies of the administration, I assume, is one thing that gives them some concern.
Well, there isn't any doubt about that. But again, I think that one of the problems with labor, well, there are really two. The increases in wages and salaries, and the question of full employment. Now, additional construction of plant and equipment is certainly going to solve the second one, or substantially alleviate it, because these plants have to be manned. Now, also, the
damn trouble, though, is, Don, when you look at it, we really haven't got any unemployment. What we've got's a bunch of incompetents, plus a bunch of kids that have done nothing. And we've got 18, 19 years old that are making up a third or half of this 5 million. is 5%. And 5%, you see, of 60-odd million is 3 million odd. And this year, we get 1,600,000 18-year-olds. And 600,000 of them that can't go to college because there's not room, or can't get a job because they're not trained. So they immediately become unemployable, and we list them. And what we need to have them trained to do something. And just everybody's leveling with me, saying we've got to have $3, 4, 5 billion extra for education, and retraining, and got to rewrite our unemployment compensation laws, and make the period longer, it's 26 weeks, but really correct all these abuses that are now exist, like Scranton corrected up in Pennsylvania, and things of that kind. So even if we do have a lot of plant investment, it may be we'll still have high unemployment. Our people tell us that it's going to go up instead of down.
Yes. Well, my only point, Mr. President, is that it'll be a whole lot higher if
well,
we don't have.
That's right. That's right. That's correct. I agree with that. Well, do you have any objection to thinking about this a little bit, making 4 or 5 points and giving them to your girl and letting her read them to my secretary at the end of the day?
I'll do that, yes.
Because I've got to talk to them, and I want about 1,000 words, but I wanted something that the text of it ought to be newsworthy to the Wall Street Journal, because
yes.
I'm going to speak to CED, and I want it to be, prudent and progressive and modern and enlightened, and I think you can do that. Now, another thing that you ought to be thinking about while you're there is Rosa is leaving, I believe, going to Lehman Brothers. He is a real monetary expert over there. The Fowler job that handles all legislative and stuff, he's leaving. The assistant secretary that runs the customs and narcotics and secret service stuff, he's getting out. So we really got no one to run treasury. And he doesn't want to make a decision there on any of that. He wants the new secretary to make it.
Yes.
Now, I think I can tell you these things without anybody else knowing them. I think you
I'm
need
sure
to know
that.
Them. I think you need to know him. McCone is 67 or something, and he agreed to serve a year, and his year was up last November, and he has to leave CIA. That is one of the most powerful and one of the key jobs in the world. Because, God, you have no idea what it does. And I can't have another Bay of Pigs.
Yes.
And we ought to think of anybody and everybody that you ever heard of or that you ever even saw in law school or any other place. He's got to be an intellectual. He's got to have a detective's instinct. He's got to have awfully good judgment. He's got to be very prudent. He's got to be somewhat adventuresome. It takes a combination of qualities that I don't see required in anybody unless it's president. Secretary of Treasury can be this, or Attorney General can be a lawyer. A spaceman can be a good administrator. This guy is dealing with 120 countries.
Yes.
And he's got to pick the men for all of them, and he's got to have the ideas for all of them. So put that one down on trouble.
Yes.
Now, Watson says that his brother has problems, and his president of his company, his wife, has cancer. And he couldn't move him up, and he tried to move the second man in, and he got problems there. And he's going to come down and give me a bunch of reasons as to why he can't participate in the war. And, of course, if all of you all do that, why are we going to, I just might as well throw in the towel and turn it over to Humphrey. I guess he's got friends that can help, but he's coming to do that. So we have to look pretty quick, because this man's moving out. And Franklin D. Roosevelt Jr. is going to want to move in. And I'm obligated to the name and the memory and the principles, but I don't think that boy is to be my Secretary of Commerce with the business people. So you're going to have to look at the Don Cooks that have come into the business world that would have understanding of them, but wouldn't necessarily be a Roger Blau. Do I make myself clear there?
And I think you're exactly right.
Now, I have that feeling of McNamara. I have that feeling of you. I have that feeling of even Dillon to some extent. I have that feeling of Watson. But now, my contacts in San Marcos, Texas, in the business world, at San Marcos Teachers College, are not very wide. And do you think of anyone offhand that we ought to give some thought to?
Not offhand, but I'll set about it.
Now, Stanton's got his problems, and we've got the most challenging thing you ever heard is education and health and television by education, how you can revolutionize your school systems by having one good science teacher in New York City. That's the real Billy Graham of the science profession, the one that inspires them. They'll let a home rule teacher stay there in the homeroom and issue them their checking their books and stuff and see if they behave. But turn on that television and let them read that. The tests show that they get about 20% more than they do from the individual teacher. But when he gets through, then the individual teacher can answer questions they raise and lead discussions. But there's a lot of revolutionary stuff like that. Do you follow me in that little idea?
Yes, I do.
And we spent $3 billion for education, health, welfare when Kennedy started. And the budget this year that they've sent to me is $7.9 billion. And they're suggesting adding two more to that, which would make 12. Four times what we did 4 years ago. That's how education is shaping up. So that place is going to have somebody. McNamara told me this morning that he thought Stanton would be the best man in America if he'd do it, but he's going to find problems, and Bill Paley won't want to have him away and afraid to let him leave. And so we don't know what will happen there. His wife wants him to come home at 4 o'clock, and so I guess maybe I'll lose him, and he suggests Clark Kerr. He thinks that we could steal him, the University of California. I think it'd be good if we could.
I know him, and he is an exceptional fellow.
Well, we had thought we might try to get him to CIA.
He's a well-rounded fellow, and I think he's got the kind of orientation that you would think well of. He's a little to the left of center, but I don't think he would be regarded as in any sense hostile to the business community. Although I wouldn't recommend him for a position where he would have to be making decisions in connection with labor, because the business community would regard him as being probably too biased in the direction of labor. But aside from that, I think he's a first-class fellow from every point of view. Very able man.
Now, in your states that you operate in, how many do you operate in? 6, 8?
We're in 7.
Now, that's Virginia and West Virginia.
Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
Right.
Our largest operations are Ohio, Indiana, Virginia, West Virginia, and Kentucky. Tennessee and Michigan are small.
Have you run into any exceptional men in public life in those states?
Well, I think one of the able people that I've run into, I think he's a very dynamic fella, is the governor of Kentucky, Ned Breathitt. But I understand that in Kentucky, they got together for the election, and then they immediately proceeded to fall apart, so that there are three groups down there raising hell with one another. But you would know Kentucky is better than I. But if there is a factional problem, I think Breathitt is an able young guy who would like to be in Washington, and if you were satisfied with him personally on the basis of what your own Kentucky contacts tell you, I think he might be a useful fella. There is a young lady by the name of McGovern, Frances McGovern, who was chairman of the Ohio Public Service Commission during the last Democratic administration. She was Mike DeSalle's appointee. She ran for Congress, and I think she lost by some 18,000 votes out of maybe 225,000 votes cast. Abel understands the regulatory process. She might be entirely suitable. Indeed, I think she would be. Indeed, I would be.